In the James Bond film GoldenEye, the villain's henchman is this computer genius named Boris. Boris is typing the final code into his keyboard to unleash certain doom upon Bond and company. And as Boris hits enter with a flourish, he crows, "I am invincible!" And at that very moment, without warning, a ruptured tank of liquid oxygen immediately engulfs him, instantly freezing him into a human icicle. Not so invincible, eh? Maybe in this last week you saw the same national news that I did, reporting about tens of thousands of college kids gathering on our southern coast's beaches as if this spring break were like any other. When a reporter asked a young man why he wasn't heeding the recommendations of the nation's public health officials, one sunburned young man said, "If I get corona, I get corona. At the end of the day, I'm not going to let it stop me from partying." Like Boris the computer genius, Mr. Sunburn is convinced that his youthful strength and his college-instilled intelligence render him invincible. I pray for his good health, though he seems to feel he doesn't need my prayers or those of anybody else. What he and other beachgoers don't seem to realize is that what they do now affects people they may never see. By their assortment of close proximity activities, they're providing an invisible virus with so many more opportunities to spread. And even if they themselves never get sick, those young people might end up transmitting the illness to, say, their older sister, or to her newborn baby, or to a grandparent, or to their favorite neighbor whose system is weakened by recent chemotherapy. Whether it's because they feel invincible or they feel entitled, those spring break beachgoers are choosing to ignore the wisdom of experts, and choosing instead to think only of themselves and their enjoyment. Now, I don't mean to pick on the college kids. After all, we all know that such self-centered actions are not limited to young people. I mean, that grocery store hoarding that was so prevalent last week? What that behavior declared was, "I don't care what you want as long as I get what I want." And self-centered actions are not limited to those other people either. I remember taking our family to a Broadway musical at Playhouse Square maybe 15, 20 years ago. Our boys were still rather small. We had just gotten back into town and we headed straight to the theater, arriving in the balcony just as the overture was starting. Now, there were other people in front of us, but they were hesitating to approach an usher for some reason, I guess not quite sure what to do. So I stepped in front of them, dragging my family behind me. I put our tickets in the usher's hands, and we were seated immediately. Now, normally, I'm an orderly rule follower, but in that moment, I chose to do what I wanted rather than to wait for the people in front of me to figure out what to do. To this day, I still squirm in embarrassment when I remember my selfish actions that day. Because that's not the way of life that Jesus calls us to. One of the gifts of St. Paul was his ability to interpret the teachings of Jesus. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 4, Paul instructed the Christians in Philippi to emulate Jesus this way. He wrote, "Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others." Now, our natural inclination is to look out for number one. And if you wonder who that is, look in a mirror. But Jesus sought to take us, as different as we are, and to form us into a community characterized not by self-centeredness, but characterized by caring and compassion for one another and for the whole world. So St. Paul urged, "Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to but to the interests of others. And just before writing that, Paul explained how that can begin to happen. He wrote, "In humility, regard others as better than yourselves." You know, the conditions we're facing because of this viral pandemic are actually providing us with a proving ground of sorts. Each of us has more opportunities than ever to demonstrate the qualities of being a community of caring guided by Jesus Christ. For instance, we can show extraordinary patience with others, whether in our household, or in the aisles of a store, or out on the roadways. Let's show more patience than usual because, well, we don't know what emotional stressors that other person is facing. We can be a community of caring by reassuring others struggling with anxiety, especially in these times of change and uncertainty. You know, God is with us whether the sun shines or the storms blow. And remembering that God is with us brings calm to our hearts. That calm is God's gift that we can share with others. After all, more than 100 times the Bible assures us, don't be afraid. Sometimes you may need to say that into a mirror. Current public health conditions present urgent reasons for each of us to act to safeguard the general public. But we who look to Jesus Christ as our master and guide know that respect for others is something we're called to show always, in humility regarding others as better than ourselves. Remembering what St. Paul urged, let each of us continue to look not to our own interests, but to the interests of others.